Deal tipping on fofos, wrapped in fofos. Tipping on fofos, wrapped in fofos. Tipping on fofos, wrapped in fofos. Tipping fofos, and I'm packing fofos.
Yay!
Yay, we got it.
Okay, how's it sound?
It sounds good. How do I sound?
You sound great.
Okay.
All right, well, welcome to the Urban Cafe.
Yay!
Yeah.
And I'm Francisca.
And we are here with our sixth episode. This is actually our second recording. But, you know, we're here doing the best we can and really just using this podcast as an opportunity to have our voices heard and share our thoughts and try to relate to people. So hopefully you all are enjoying this process as much as we are.
Yes, it's been a process, but it's good.
So how are you doing, Francisca?
I'm doing good. Had a really good day. Worked out twice today, so that's always good. how about you?
I'm good. I am happy that it's Thursday. You know, looking forward to the weekend. I'm in Seattle, so there's not a whole lot I can do because I'm still on,
quarantine.
We're in quarantine, lockdown, whatever you want to call it. And in addition to that, there are still a lot of protests going on, so there's not a lot that I can do out and about. But I'm still, you know, happy and enjoying the beautiful weather. So let's get this podcast started.
Let's go.
So first, Francisca, Forbes, you know, everybody knows Forbes because they're well known for talking about wealth and money and economic gains. But they just put out the world's highest paid musicians for 2020. You know, first of all, I'm curious how they know who the highest paid musicians are, and it's only June.
I would love to know that too. Is it for 2019 or is it for 2020?
It said 2020.
But are the earnings from 2019?
Maybe. I don't know. It just says world's highest paid musicians 2020.
Okay. Okay. So it had to be the earnings had to. I mean, I don't know how else you would know that. Besides, yeah. I don't know.
So it's probably based on last year's earnings.
Right.
But I'll read you the list.
Okay.
Okay. Should I start with the lowest person? Yeah, let's start with the lowest person.
Okay.
Number 16 is Rihanna.
Oh, wow.
You know, Rihanna has made a huge fortune off her Fenty makeup line and a lot of the other ventures that she's done. I'm actually surprised she doesn't make more.
Right. What did it say how much she made?
$46 million.
Oh, that's a lot still, but wow.
I think I actually expected it to be higher, but I guess this is like gross income, like what she actually profited, like what she actually
popped. Right, right. Minus the investors and all that stuff.
Right. Expenses of running her business.
Right.
And then number 15 is Drake.
Okay.
At $49 million. And that surprised me because I don't know of any particular business that he's associated with, but he's making more money than Rihanna.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number 14 is somebody named BTS. Who the hell that is? I have no clue. I don't know who BTS is.
Neither do I.
I've never even heard that name. Like, I honestly, I've never heard that name.
Is he a rapper or?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up later because I literally have never even, like, maybe he's a producer. I don't know. Mm. That person makes $50 million a year. It could be a she. I don't even know.
Wow.
Number 13 is Billie Eilish.
Yeah, my kids love her.
Is that how you say her name? Eilish?
I think so. That's what it sounds. That's what it looks like.
Okay, she makes $53 million a year.
And you know she's a baby. You know she's a baby. She's like 18 years old.
Yeah, that surprises me. I'm just surprised that Rihanna makes less than these people. Like, because she really got the dough rolling in with Fenty and her lingerie and this and that. And Billie Eilish with her little goofy self makes 53 million. Anyway, Jay-Z, aka Hova, that's number 12, and he made 53.5 million. And number 11, Shawn Mendes, makes 54.5 million. And girl, if you ask me what song Shawn Mendes sings,
I don't know either.
I don't even know. I know who he is, but I'm not familiar with his music at all. Number 10 is Marshmello. Once again, who the
Who's
F?
that? Yeah, I have no idea who that is either.
And it's Marshmello spelled without a W. So for those of you that might go look him up after this, do Marshmello without the W.
Not, I gotta find him on Instagram and figure out what he's doing.
This person makes $56 million a year, more than Jay-Z, more than Rihanna. You remember
Wow.
when Jay-Z was like the highest earning musician in the game? So the Rolling Stones are number 9 and they make 59 million. That doesn't surprise me because, you know, they have, I mean, this is a well-known, well-respected rock group that, you know, they're very active. Like out of all the older musicians, I would say that they perform the most and they go on tour regularly. So they got the not the residuals, but what do you call it? I don't know.
Like the fans out keep coming out, the loyal fans. Are you talking about
Royalties.
the money? You're talking about
Yeah,
the money.
they've got royalties every time their song is played in a
Oh
movie or in a TV show on a commercial, and they've got a lot of big hits. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, with touring and performances and royalties, you know, they make bank. And girl, guess who's number 8?
Who?
Post Malone.
Really?
$60 million.
Wow.
That little goofy boy, are you serious?
Wow.
And see, this is what bothers me about racism in the music industry. How many people's style did he borrow from? And this dude has minimal talent, and he makes more than all those other musicians. Lil Wayne is nowhere on this list, and he is a carbon copy. Number 7 is Taylor Swift.
Of course, she gotta be on that high list.
63.5 million. I don't know what songs Taylor Swift has sung in the last 10 years. So I'm not even lying.
But she writes a lot, so she may not even have to sing them anymore. I mean, she does sing, but she might be
Possibly.
selling off a lot of her music.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh yeah, I love him.
You? What does he sing?
Shape of You. He does a lot of good songs. What's that one song that's like a real slow song? I can't remember the name of it, but it's really popular. And then he's on a couple of other like spotties, like he'll sing. He did a duet with Beyonce.
See, I know Shape of You, but that song was kind of old, so I didn't realize he was still big like that.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me, number 5 is somebody named Chainsmokers. You know them?
Chain smoker. No.
$68 million. Number 4, the Jonas Brothers.
Wow, they're still making money like that.
I didn't even know that. Do they still sing? I thought they
Yeah, I guess they still do. They have a reality show. I need to go check that out.
See, this is what happens when you don't have cable. I swear to you, I haven't watched MTV in the longest. I only have on demand, so I watch shows I know I like, which basically, really, at this point, is only Teen Mom and Catfish. And I only want to see the teen moms that I knew from way back in the day, like 16 and Pregnant, you
Oh,
know?
yeah.
So like Macy and Amber and all them.
Oh, yeah.
But Jonas Brothers make $68.5 million.
Wow.
What is that? What is
What?
that?
What?
That's scratching noise.
Oh, that probably wasn't me. Sorry, I was scratching my hand.
Really? That's so interesting that it picks up on that. I didn't think I would be able to hear it. It sounds like, you know, like well, see, You probably lived in nice buildings, but if you ever live in like an apartment building or a cheap building, sometimes like mice and rats will scratch on the wall. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I ain't never experienced that before, but I can get it. I can get it. I understand what you're talking about.
Okay, so number three is Ariana Grande.
Oh, okay.
And she makes 72 million.
Dang, she spent a lot of money.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me though, because she's kind of like everywhere, you know,
Yeah.
and she's got a ton of hits for every album. She really pumps out the singles, so I'm not
Yeah.
mad at that. Number two is Elton John,
Really, still?
81 million.
Dang.
And I think the reason that he made so much, or he's at the top, is because he had that big movie that came out.
Yeah, he did. I saw that on the plane. I think I was, yeah.
Yeah, he's got some issues, girl. That movie, I was like, whoa. But he, you know, he is also another older performer that tours pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And
You know he lives here in Atlanta.
that doesn't surprise me because Atlanta is a big music city, but he tours regularly in really big venues, you know, like Madison Square Garden and stuff like that. And number one, you want to guess who it's going to be?
Beyoncé?
No, not even close.
Oh God.
Kanye West
Really?
made $170 million.
Wow. I think I did know that. I think that was like he posted about that, didn't
I think he did say that he was like the highest earning musician in the world or something like that. But I don't know if he gave the number. So he is more than double what Elton John made. And he's a country
Wow. Wow. That's
artist.
awesome.
Yeah. You know, one thing I'll say about Kanye West is that I remember when he was trying to get his fashion label off the ground, and he kept talking about the fact that nobody wanted to give him opportunities. And he said, you know, I've done the apprenticeships, I've done the internships, I studied fashion, like I did what I had to do, and people won't let me into the game, you know. And I was kind of, I'll be honest, I was laughing. He had those ugly high heels that he was doing for a little while. And then he fell into the Yeezys, and that just took the game to a whole other level. So.
Yeah, because you know Negroes love some good tennis shoes now.
So yeah, those are the highest earning musicians in the world, 2020.
Wow. Well, so you know Amazon is like the biggest company ever, right? And they donated $10 million to various black organizations. A couple of the organizations are United Negro College Fund, the NAACP, and the Urban League. They said that the inequitable and brutal treatment of black and African Americans is unacceptable. This is why I fucks with Amazon.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love Amazon.
Huh.
Do you shop with Amazon?
I try to really limit the support that I offer Amazon. I do use it as a service because it's kind of a monopoly in the sense that there are a lot of things that they can deliver quickly that are hard to get through other reliable sources. But I definitely don't fucks with Amazon like that at all because of the way they treat the community. They have a terrible reputation for the way they treat a lot of their employees, and they have a terrible relationship with people in Seattle.
Do
Yeah, Francisca, and they had one when you were living here too.
I did, you know, I was gonna work there. I actually was offered a job there and I took this other job instead. But I didn't know that. I really didn't. Everybody that I know that worked there loved it.
Oh no, that's not been my experience. A lot of the people who I've talked to that work at Amazon really don't like. It depends on like the department that you're in, I think. But as in general, my understanding of like the reason why they're doing that kind of stuff is because they have a bad reputation. They have a very bad reputation in the community. They're known for not really treating people with a lot of dignity or respect. And I know that here, like local Seattle community really does not like how much of a vulture Amazon has been. You know,
Really?
they take a lot of things from the community, but they invest nothing in to what's happening around here. They don't support, they don't, you know, they don't donate or anything like that. They just started doing it because they've been getting harassed for the past few years about it. But the amount of support that they've offered has been minimal compared to like what resources they actually have available. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, and the people that I've talked to who worked there, I have a couple of friends who work there, and they just rant and rave about Amazon.
Rant and rave, like in a good way or a bad?
Yeah, like how great it is.
Oh.
How great it is, but like you said, it might depend on department and what you do, whatever. And the reason why I like Amazon specifically regarding like buying stuff is like whenever I go and buy anything, I always check Amazon first, like just to see like what the price is or the price, you know, if I can get it cheaper there, and then all of the reviews and stuff. So I love how they really changed the game how we buy our products, like all products really.
I think my frustration with Amazon, and the reason why I think it's good that they're donating $10 million to random Black organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that they're getting, you know, giving $10 million to random Black organizations. But the reason why I paused is, like I said, how can you have a company that size functioning in a city like Seattle and you donate nothing to any local organizations? There's no positive relationship with the community at all. And if you look at Boeing, the amount of programs that they have where they're trying to get kids in there, where they're trying to get, you know, internships and creating opportunities, and they're donating and they're having picnics. Or if you look at Microsoft and the amount of resources that are being made available to people, not only in the local community, but globally, the amount of donations they make. To me, Amazon is not functioning at that scale at all. They just donated a little bit of stuff to the school district, but based on what they have the capacity to donate, what they have the capacity to function at, you know, I just don't have a lot of respect for it. And so to me, what this looks like is damage control. You know, it doesn't feel like a genuine effort to make connections and meaningful relationships or establish relationships with people in the community, because there are lots of people in the community here in Seattle that have been trying to do this with them.
Yeah. And I guess I understand that part of it. And they probably, you know, Amazon is such a huge monster that they don't, I mean, damage control.
There's a good word.
But who's gonna stop shopping at Amazon?
No, I'm just saying I don't necessarily think that a $10 million donation makes up for the shit that they haven't been doing.
No, I know. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like I think they can do that. They can get away with it because who's going to stop using them?
Yeah, I think, and that's unfortunate, you know, that they know that they can continue. That's why I said earlier, they're kind of in a monopoly because they can treat people like shit. And nobody can really do anything about it. They're not making the effort to build meaningful relationships with Black people in the community that they're functioning in. Yeah. So this whole like grandiose, let me donate $10 million so everybody knows that we're down for the cause, when there are Black people outside your building trying to talk to you about shit, that doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next story. Okay, so George W. Bush is so he was the 43rd president of the United States, and you know, he's well known for being a little bit of a space case, if you will. But he is actually Republican, and he has announced his intention to endorse Joe Biden for president.
I like the idea. I think so, you know. Personally, his family, him and the Trump and Trump don't get along. So we knew that wasn't going to happen. But I think that he's just at this point where he's at a, you know, where he just wants this fool to get out of there. I believe that him and Joe Biden are friendly. They've been, you know, even though they're not the same, they don't have the same politics, they've been working in the same, you know,
yeah,
you know, for 40 something years. They know each other very well. I think that it was probably what he was going to do is decent. It's the good thing to do.
I think one thing that stands out to me, I think it is a great thing because there are a lot of people who are, you know, moderate that might change their thinking or might reconsider Joe Biden as a nominee because Bush is endorsing him. I also think on the flip side that it has the potential to run certain people off, like the Bernie bros or, you know, the real, real radical people that are already kind of on the fence about offering support to someone as moderate of a Democrat as Joe Biden is.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be on Biden to really play his cards right and make sure that he keeps everyone together, right? Because this is kind of like a family effort. You know, you got people banding together that don't even like each other under normal circumstances, and they want to get his ass out so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I see how that could be a problem, but it's just endorsing him is just saying, I like him. I'm voting for him, or I would vote for him or whatever. I don't know if people feel some kind of ways about that. That's kind of weird to me.
Yeah. But I mean, last time in the past, you know, like when Bernie didn't, the last election, when it was Hillary and Bernie, those were the two Democratic candidates. When Bernie was not selected as a Democratic candidate, a lot of the people that should have voted for Hillary decided to vote for Trump.
Yeah, that did happen. Or they didn't vote at all.
Right. I mean, people have changed their mind over less.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that they learn their lesson from that and they get their ass out of the street and vote.
Yeah, I agree. So what's next?
The next story is about the LA mayor, Eric Garcetti. He vowed to redirect $150 million, that's a lot of money, from the police department to the Black community. It's not specified on what what organizations or how, what he said that's coming in the next few months. He also said that this is not just a moment, which lets us know that this is not something that he's just doing because of all the protests and the looters and the outcry. He really means this from his heart. So we hope that that's really the truth and that he's not just running game on us and on the people of LA. But if that is truth, that's huge.
Oh, I know. I'm sounding a little bit like a negative Nancy this week. And I think part of that is because I've become very leery of politicians. I've become very skeptical of people who seem to be jumping on a bandwagon. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of politicians out there. Black Lives Matter is not new. This is a movement that people have been doing for years.
Yeah,
these issues of Black people being murdered in broad daylight at the hands with police department having blood on their hands, especially in places like LA, that shit ain't new.
Right.
So, right. You know, I appreciate that he's responding to the pressure. And I think, you know, better late than never. But I think that time will tell how seriously he's taking this based on how he decides to keep this embedded in policies moving forward.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think this is why we as a people, especially people in LA, they can't let up. Like, we get so distracted so easily and we forget about what's going on, but we have to keep our foot to the gas, especially stuff like this. If this is real, that is huge. And that will almost I'm not saying it will defund the police, because I don't know what the police budget is. It said this, the city of LA budget was like $1 billion. So $150 million is a lot of money going towards the police department. And because LA is such an egregious when it comes to police brutality and stuff like that, this hopefully will show these people that we're not putting up with your bullshit no more. Like, you're gonna have to turn away from all the your aggressive behavior and your white supremacy behavior, because people are starting to get, you know, they're gonna make laws around this kind of stuff. So
right, yeah. And so, like I said, you know, better late than never. I don't want to be too stuck on the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, because that's past. But I do feel like I'm really hoping that this is not just, like you said, not just a moment, not something that is just a reaction to people that are putting pressure on, and kind of something to appease the masses so that it goes back to business as usual. You know, I really do hope that this is something that sticks and lasts. And like you said, I think that it is incumbent upon the people fighting for justice to make sure that this does not just go away.
Right. Right. It's really important. I hope that more cities would do the same thing. We'll see what happens. I mean, there is change going on throughout every city. Everybody is starting to, you know, to see the different America that we've been living in for the last, 200, 300, 400 years.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that's kind of what we've, instead of changing society so that no one has to experience it, now they're bringing more people into it. And you know, that's backwards thinking. But that kind of leads us to the thought that we were going to have today, the little discussion that we're going to have. And it's a question that's been on my mind for some time, because I think that our society has shifted a lot. I want to put the question out there for other people to think about while Francisca and I discuss it. So the question is, can this movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, be led and coordinated by non-Black people?
I really don't think so. I really don't think so, because this life that we live as Black and Brown people, especially, you know, Black people, because that's who I'm speaking to. You can understand it as if I'm speaking to you, and you can feel bad about it, but it's something different when you live it every day, and it's almost like a man putting on, a clinic about how to give birth. I don't know. Like, you know, that it's just, they don't do that. So how can you tell me how to have a baby if you never had a baby? I don't know. I think that this, I support, they can be an integral part. They can be to the right-hand man of the Black man that set this up, or Black woman that sets it up. They can be next to me, shoulder to shoulder. I mean, everything else. I just don't believe they can be the head of this.
See, I don't even think that they can be shoulder to shoulder. I don't think they can be a right hand man. I don't. I'm sorry.
You don't think so?
Absolutely. I don't think so. Francisca, would it make sense for me to go to Chinatown and put together an event about discrimination of Asian Americans? Fuck no. It does not make sense. And it's not that I can't be an ally and offer support in other ways, but that is not a movement that I am directly impacted by. And so I should not be the face of any kind of coordination that is in the name of that particular cause. Now, if someone who is putting the event together says, you know what, help by handing out these flyers, or help by calling these facilities and getting these things set up, I can offer support in that way. But no, I cannot be somebody's right-hand man. No, I cannot show up to a rally and be the one to talk. What the hell are you doing? And I think responsibility, and I mean this, because I think Black people need to be a lot more thoughtful about who they follow and who they listen to before they just jump into an event and decide to start marching. Ask yourself, who the hell put it together?
Yeah. I think that you're right. You're extremely right. And I think because we are so used to being put in the backseat, that is just a natural reaction for us to be like, oh, okay, well, you're going to do it. Well, let me, you know, whatever. But you're right. We have to be way more cognizant about that kind of stuff. We just can't be all willy-nilly doing anything.
And I think that the inclusiveness that historically has happened in the Black community right now has been its detriment. And the reason I say that is because it's okay to tell people that they are supporting you. You know, give them information about how they can support the movement. They cannot be at the center of your movement. They cannot be the ones putting this together. Now, if you get a group of Black people and you guys decide how you guys are going to support your community and advocate for justice on behalf of people that look like you, and then you tell a person that is not Black, here's what we have decided. This is what you can do. That to me makes sense. It doesn't make sense for some non-Black person, and that means Asian, Native American, white, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're not Black, and you should not be at the table making decisions on behalf of Black people. Period.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then on top of that, like you said, you're going to Chinatown. If you were to go to Chinatown and put something together, they would shoo you off with the quickness and be like, you ain't Chinese. Get the hell on out of here. So, I mean, they would. They other cultures are very quick to be like, this is not for you. But for some reason, we feel like we have to accept everybody. And that's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I think it's good to be inclusive. Like I said, I'm not saying that other people can't be a part of this movement, but the way that they show up in the movement has got to shift. And Black people have to be a lot more thoughtful and strategic about who they listen to. Because I'm going to tell you what, when these events go down and the police show up, it doesn't matter if it was coordinated by a white woman. They're still going to grab you and beat you with the baton.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you better be sure that whoever put it together is just as invested in this cause as you are. Because right now, the novelty of social justice is all around us. You've got companies talking about Black Lives Matter that don't have not one Black CEO. nothing. No Black leadership, no Black employees talking about Black Lives Matter. Amazon, one of them.
AT&T too. Yeah.
You know, when it's trendy, they'll say it. But when shit hits the fan, check and see who's around.
Right. You're right.
And shit will hit the fan.
Oh, you're right. It does, and it always does happen like that. It goes awry, and then it's our fault. We're there left with all the scraps to pick up. You're right.
So then let me ask you this question, Francisca, because we're in this space and you can be transparent with me and I can be transparent with you, okay?
Okay.
Who's going to be the Negro to stand up and take charge?
Oh, girl.
It ain't Sean King, I'm going to tell you that.
You don't like Sean King?
I don't dislike Sean King, but a lot of people do.
I know. I don't understand why they don't like him.
I don't either. But, you know, I think it's because he's light-skinned.
I don't know. I think it's hard to say that because, I'm going to be honest, every leader we've ever had has been killed by the government, you know?
Okay, so, but people being killed for less.
I know. But I think that makes it hard. I mean, right now, like the leader that we do have that we follow, Reverend Al Sharpton, you know, ew, he's always, huh?
Ew.
He had a really good eulogy today at George Floyd's funeral. And he does all the funerals most of the time. So the fact that he's been on this thing for a while.
And what has he done? Not a damn thing.
But he's, I mean, I don't know. And then, you know, these attorneys, the Ben Crumps and of the, you know, he's been on all these cases. Who knows? I don't know who the next, you know, leader is going to be. I have no idea. I really don't know.
I think the other part that really stands out to me is that we are in a society right now where people take such a sick pleasure in finding fault with one another.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's this culture of dragging someone and canceling someone. And, you know, it's over the smallest thing. Maybe you did some dumb shit when you were 19. He's 50. Cancel him. It doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? And I worry about that, because if we're as fickle as people have been, no human being is going to live up to a standard where, I mean, everybody's going to get canceled at some point.
Yeah, and that might be part of the reason why people don't step up. They're like, I don't need this shit. Like, I can make my money and do stuff on the side. I mean, it would be hard to lead us. I get tired of us sometimes, you know, and I couldn't imagine being a leader of people like us, who are so like, there's no unity all the time. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, but I think that is a condition. You know, that's what people want. They want us to be scattered. They want
for
us
sure
to not be united. And I think that for right sure now we are not thinking carefully about. We're not thinking carefully about ourselves. I think a lot of Black people have gotten to this place where they think, oh, I went to med school, I went to law school, I went to whatever, you know, I'm a citizen of the world. No, he's still Black.
Yeah, he's still a nigga. They will find a chance to tell you that every chance they get.
And that desire to separate oneself and see oneself as completely unique from the Black experience, I think, is what makes things very difficult for us to move forward, because everybody thinks they're special.
Yeah, I have to like tell my dad that. Like, my dad's like, well, if you do this and you go to school, you do that. I'm like, Dad, that does not make it better. Like, I really need you to like listen to that. Does not make it better. And I actually think, in a lot of ways, I was telling my dad that going to college, like, college makes the Black mind turn a little different. Actually, it makes you turn into like a worker instead of a like an owner. You know what I mean? It turns you into something a little different. So I had to tell my dad that. He don't understand the whole entrepreneurship thing at all. He doesn't get it. He does not understand it.
Yeah. I am not adventurous or fearless enough. You know, I'm not brave, I guess is the right word. I'm not brave enough to be an entrepreneur, because I do think there's a certain level of risk taking that you have to be willing to do. You know, so I personally don't necessarily have it in me, because I want to know where my shmoney is coming from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have a lot of respect, and I completely understand the desire to become a Black entrepreneur, because there are too many people that are setting the path for us and creating ceilings for us and telling us, no, you can't do this, and keeping us in the same position for 20 years, bypassing us for promotions. And you know, when people are more than qualified to have other opportunities. So,
right. And, you know, our parents come from a different age where you work for 30 years and retire, but that's not the way that this workforce is now. So it doesn't make sense to not have, I mean, even if you do have a job, I think having a side gig is always smart, because you're not going to work for 30 years. You may not even work for 10 years at the same company anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows?
But I will say, I'll say this, but I don't want it to be sour. Okay. I'm going to speak
through. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a lot of respect for Black entrepreneurship, but what I want to see is Black entrepreneurs treating their Black employees with the same love, care, and respect that they treat their white employees.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I'm not going to name the organization, but many years ago, I tutored at an organization where they practically stole the money from people.
Wow.
And it was led by a Black man. And this, you know, I mean, this was an organization that was making tons of money through donations and was offering nothing to the people that were tutoring there. The people that, like me, that had been working there for years, I was still not getting anything. You know, I would get paid, I think, $12 an hour, and the amount that I made in those years never changed. But that he would pick all his friends and all these other people, and put them at the top for no reason. These people had no qualifications.
Wow.
That's how a lot of these companies do. And so my hope, I know what kind of entrepreneur you are. You know, you empower other Black voices and Black people and Black talents. You know, and my hope is that more Black people become like that.
Well, that's unfortunate. I mean, and that is something like I tell my child all the time that we have some in-house issues that we have to deal with, and those are some of them that we gotta, you know, we yell and fuss about how the white man treats us, but we treat each other the exact same way, so we have to do better about that. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and you know, I want to say to anybody who's taking the time to listen all the way through, because this actually isn't that long of one of our podcasts, but what I want to say is that we are having a very candid conversation about the Black experience in America. And this may be information that you're familiar with. It might be information you're not familiar with, but it is important to know how people who are not necessarily a part of the same community as you see and view and experience this world.
Yeah,
I think for me, I've always been grateful for things like podcasts and different news sources, because quite frankly, the news that I hear is very different from the world that I personally experience as a Black
right.
person.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely for sure.
But what I will say, I hope you do come back to Seattle soon, because there's something called Black Joy. And ooh. I love having Black Joy. Black Joy means that, you know, it's celebrating the beauty of being Black and the beauty of sisterhood and brotherhood and Blackness, really. And do you remember the Northwest African American Museum?
Yeah, they're off of 20.
They used to have these Black Joy parties, and I never got a chance to go, but if you do come, we'll have a Black Joy party.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Black Joy.
Yeah. Celebrating the beauty of it, because right now, I think when you turn on the TV, people are getting this idea that Blackness sucks.
Yeah.
You know? There definitely are aspects of Blackness that do suck, but there are some really awesome parts too, and I think it's time to celebrate that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think we are popular culture. Yeah. Let's just put that out there. So everything that people be saying and doing, that's all us.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing to say. And I think that's a good spot to just kind of wrap it up. You know, we haven't been super consistent because we're still having tech issues. So thank you to everybody that listened. But hopefully you guys were still able to get some of the messages that we were trying to get across today.
Yeah. It was a great convo, especially during this time. We needed to have the conversation.
It's true. We did. And I don't think that this conversation is over by any stretch. So
No.
I know next week we'll be talking about this again, but it was good to talk to you, Francisca.
It's good to talk to you too, girl.
All right. Bye.